Good evening. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir, Seruah, Aleph et Gimel Yitzhak Tzavi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Tacharenu, Nora, Kufresh Ayin, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat, Shamlem, Nun Gimodalad, Yitzkav Shin, Barhen Tacharen, Rakame Sikkatha Tami Gamlein Betet Reish Savitav Gimel Tasim Kadosh Bero Tucha Nael Adatach Het Kufet Tet Nunayim Yahid Geyet Lamcha Penei Zofle Kedushatach Yud Gimelamet Pesayim Kuf Shalvatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talmot Shin Kufav Tzadiyatach. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notse chesed la lafin, notse awon wafesha, vechata'a v'nake. We will now say the Shema Yisrael. In case anybody has not, please cover your eyes and lean to the left slightly. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty utilizing the Sulam commentary of the Zohar from Parashat Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. And we will do this after we say the Lashem Yichud. Lashem Yichud Kud Shabaritu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Erhimud Hilu Hilu Erhimu Liata Lashem Yud He Bavav He Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasot Torah Mitzvah Vayino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Taneinam Dekudcha Parichu kol ma de'aved le'ela w'tata kol ayihu k'shot b'yovada dikshot parichu Deku chabri su koma de aved leela witata kola ihu kishot leovada dikshot veled lach mila bialma givae barnash vedach yaleya mine yalan haga eya kalana tehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikolai sirich bialma. The energy of this current year, 5779, is to become wise during this year. There are no verses in the Tanakh that connect directly to this energy through their gematria, but there are three verses that have the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Tet, concealed within them. The concealment is done by two letters each that separates each letter of the name. The first verse that we study together is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18.
V'imad eile lo tishbe'u li v'yasafti l'yasra edchem sheva al hatotechem.
The next verse we study is from Isaiah. It's chapter 36, verse 6.
Hine batachta al mishenet hakaneh Aratzutz hazeh, al Mitzrayim asher yisamech, yishalav uvav v'kapo, unkava kein paro, melech Mitzrayim, l'kol habochim alav.
The third verse comes from Micah, the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 13.
V'gam ani hecheleiti hakotecha hashmem al hatotecha.
There is a fourth verse that has the same energy, that of the, it starts with a hey and ends with a tet. And that verse, there are 13 verses like that in the Tanakh. And we are studying one verse each month. This verse that will be connected from Second Samuel chapter 23, verse 10, connects to the month of Tishrei.
Hu kam vayach Bap loshtin ad ki yaga yado vetid bak yado el hacherev vayas Adonai teshua gedola badot bayom hahu v'ha'am yashuvu acharav ach lefashet.
The year 5778 has the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. This is essentially the energy to help us reduce our ego, because the ego is what separates us from Hashem. The first verse, there are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6.
Vayishkav Amnon vayichal vayavo hamelech liroto vayomer Amnon
El HaMelech Tavo, Natamar, Achoti Utlabev, Le'ene Shete Levivot, Vievre Piada. The second verse that we studied connecting to this energy is from Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. These letters are separated by three letters each. Chatati Odiacha, Waoni Lokisiti, Amarti Ode Ale Peshai, Ladonai. We ata nasata awon chatati sela. The year 5777. Has the energy of the wake-up call, as well as that of the goats. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first that we study is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we have satsuki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse has concealed within it the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. This verse is in Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. The letters are separated by seven other letters representing the blockage that must be removed in order to reveal the light of this energy. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem tadivaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 has the energy of a pause that refreshes. There are two verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh as well. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles, Chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol haolot vayahaskum achechem halevim ad kelot amlacha v'ad yitkachu hakohanim. Ki ha-levim yishrei levav leikadesh me-ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Here are those names. Adonai Yohewahe Lalahe Wawawa Yo la yo ala me hey 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 aka a rekaha. The second verse is from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. And here is the verse. Bitu va donai yo hey wahe ade ad ki bia yo hey. Adonai Yohewahe Sur Olamim The year 5775, as the energy is swallowing death forever, there are three verses that connect to this. First that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next we have 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Udu mikol ha-machavariyam, asher yidchabe sham v'shavtem, elai el nachom, v'halakti idchem v'chayayim yashno, v'aretz v'hipasti, o tov b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third comes from Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse in the Tanakh that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10.
Wisamti makom leami leYisrael untati vishakan takta velo yirgaz o velo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona.
We will now connect to the energy of the 72 names of God, utilizing a tool of saying the letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence.
Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shilalahe aka akaheta hezayo alada la awaheheya. Yozala me behe, he reyo he kome, la awata la yo, la wawa pehe la, mulaha yo yo yo, me la he te he wa, muta he he a a, yo re ta shi a he, reyo yo awa me, la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ka wa 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 yo la he sa a la re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu wa nu yo ta may be hey hey wa yo nu may may yo yo la hey re hey may sa re wa may be yo hey hey a nu wa may say yo da may be may nu ko a yo a say be wa re ha hey yo be may hey yo yo may wa may.
Now we'll connect to the names, 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool.
Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te ya a me. What me be shi la yo he anu a ta me ta. He he yo anu da la he wa me he me a. Yo tsa la me re he, he yo yo, he me me. La wa wa ta be yo, la yo wa, he nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he, he he wa. Nu yo he, he shi a, yo re ta, shi a he. Re la yo, a wa me, la yo be, wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he la he shi he me ta ha wa wa la yo yo he sa ala re yo a ala me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi ala me nu he a nu wa ta me la he te a yo nu ko me yo re la te be he me za re wa he be yo a he ala wa me za yo ta he be me ka ko ala a he he wa re la he he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 29th day of Tishrei, Dan Yitzhak Abarbanal, very famous Kabbalist, as well as a financial genius, among other things. Rabbi Meir ben Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev, Shimon HaTzadik of the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Vizhnitz, Rabbi Akiva Glasner, Rabbi Shmuel Tzvi Danziger, known as the Alexander Rebbe. And in the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach, we will say in a whisper to ground any excess energy that we may have revealed that our vessels are not able to handle. And we say it in a whisper. Today's class is from the writings of the Ari. You can find that in row 14, the second column from the left of the revealed wisdom matrix. When that link opens up, it's a landing page for the writings of the Ari. Please scroll down to the section of the parashas and then within that to the links underneath the parasha of Noah, which is what we will be reading this coming Shabbat. And please click on the first link, which is titled Kindness to Animals. We will be reading both links, but it's all on one page. Or at least I hope we're going to be reading both links. The Ari was very careful not to kill any bug, even when they bit him. Regarding killing animals, it is mentioned in the Zohar that no creature was created purposely. It is therefore forbidden to kill purposely, as the sages state. And I am adding, halakhot, the Torah regulations sometimes referred to as recommendations or as laws, have a hierarchy. The highest level of this hierarchy is the halakha expressed in the Zohar. All that the Holy One, blessed be he created only for his honor, as it is written. All that is called in my name and for my honor, I created it, I formed it, I even made it. We will see now how the Arizal took this statement to extreme conclusions, conducting himself with extreme piety in this matter. My teacher, the Arizal, was very careful not to kill any bug, even the smallest and lowliest, such as fleas or lice and the like, even when they bit him. I am adding, in my opinion, the reason that he did not kill a bug in reaction to a bite is the Ari lived into the reality that there is a message to him from the bite. We know that the sages say, commence commenting on the verse, his enemies will also make peace with him, that some say this refers to the dog and others say this refers to the snake. And still others say this refers to the flea. This idea is the answer of Rabbi Elazar to Rabbi Chizkiah recorded in the Zohar, where the mystical meaning of the verse, "Will the snake bite without whispering?" is explained. Will the snake bite without whispering? Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chizkiah were walking and came across a snake. Rabbi Chizkiah was about to kill it, but Rabbi Elazar told him not to. When Rabbi Chizkiah protested, saying that it is a dangerous creature, Rabbi Elazar quoted the above verse, interpreting it to mean that a snake only bites a person if God whispers to him to do so. God created snakes in order to kill certain people and thereby prevent them from doing some evil. To be sure, we should not kill any creature unnecessarily, but refraining from killing animals that pose a threat to human life or communicate diseases contradicts the requirements of Jewish law. And it is doubtful whether any Torah authority would permit this. Indeed, it is permitted to kill harmful snakes on the Sabbath, when killing is otherwise altogether prohibited. The Arizal, we may presume, did not have to worry about leaving snakes alive, because he did not have to fear being struck down by one to prevent him from sinning. On the other hand, we see that he was bitten by insects or other bugs. The question is how the Arizal could refrain from killing snakes and the like and allow them to pose a threat to others' lives. Perhaps the Arizal only meant that we should not kill snakes in their natural wild habitat, but that if they venture into heavily peopled areas, we should kill them, or if possible, return them back to the wild. But all of this is just conjecture. It could just as well be that the Arizal advocated avoided killing creatures altogether, even at the expense of human life. It is also not proper to kill or despise lice, which are born and created out of sweat. This is true especially of lice produced on the heads of good people. Sweat is the excess energy of the person and his dross, and from it these lice are created. This being the case, it is a boon and a rectification for the person when lice are created out of the sweat of his body, for in this way his excess, his dross and evil is excreted. Since they perform a positive function, we should not despise them. My commentary. We see from the translator's comments the difference between the religious worldview and the Kabbalah. The religious worldview looks only at what one can view physically. The Kabbalah looks at the internal and intuitive sense. We also learn about the Kabbalists who utilize the science of their times to explain and justify their intuitive judgments. That is the end of this section. Does anyone have any questions? We will continue to read the next section titled Mystical Inundations. Kabbalah explains the mystical roots of the waters of the Great Flood. The water prevailed 15 cubits above, and the mountains were covered. Thus, during the flood, the highest mountaintop was submerged 15 cubits. Let us understand why the mountaintops were submerged 15 cubits, no more and no less.
Furthermore, once the Torah says that the water prevailed 15 cubits above, why must it say that the mountains were covered? This is implied in the word above. It is enough to say simply that the water prevails 15 cubits above the mountains. What is gained by saying that they were covered? The answer, the sin of the generation of the flood was wasteful emission of seed. It is known that this act causes above the same thing, namely that the drop of divine beneficence issues from the male, Zeranpin, without being posited in the female, the Nukva. Rather, it is captured by the forces of evil. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. Before the flood, wasting seed was rampant. The verb to corrupt in Hebrew, hashchet, also means to waste. Thus the phrase for all flesh had corrupted can also mean for all flesh had wasted its way on the earth. This immediately evokes the story of Judah's son Onan, where we are told when he engaged in marital relations with his dead brother's wife, he wasted it on the earth in order not to give seed to his brother. The verse describing the state of the earth before the flood thus indicates that wasting seed was rampant. The earth refers to the supernal earth, which was destroyed. And in what did its destruction consist? That all flesh had destroyed, meaning that the supernal yesod, which is termed all, had destroyed its way on the earth and not into the nukva. Earth is an appellation for Nukva Malchut, which receives the seed of Zeranpin and develops into fruition and expression. In the verse, to you, O God, is the greatness. Gidulah is a synonym for Chesed. And the might, the Gevurah, and the beauty, Tiferet, and the victory, Netzach, and the majesty, Hod, for all referring to Yesod, that is in heaven and earth. To you, O God, is the dominion, the mamlacha, a synonym for malchut. Yesod is referred to as all because all the divine beneficence of the preceding Sephirot flows into it and through it to malchut. In the verse quoted, Yesod is described as positing its seed on the earth, on the surface of the earth, rather than within the earth. In this way, the Nukva was destroyed, for it could not elevate feminine water at all. Therefore, God brought the flood upon them. When the masculine water mates with her, the states of Gevurah are sweetened. Normally, as we have seen previously, the feminine principle is constructed out of states of Gevurah, since it needs to be very judgmental in order to interface with the material world, which is a priori antithetical to godliness. In order that these states of Gevurah not leave her with an entirely negative attitude, she must periodically mate with the male principle, in which Chesed predominates. This migration of the Nukva's Gevurah states by Zeranpin, Chesed states, is termed sweetening the Gevurah. This is the meaning of to work it, which according to the sages refers to the active mitzvot. For by performing the active mitzvot, we draw down masculine water above us or upon us. And to guard it refers to passive mitzvot, which guarded it in the garden, so that evil could not attach itself. And God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. The sage's comment, to work it, refers to the active mitzvot, while to guard it refers to the passive mitzvot. Here, the active mitzvot elicit the masculine water, while the passive mitzvot are feminine water. The passive mitzvot are clearly associated with Givurah, the judgmentality that guards the garden from intrusion by forces antithetical to God consciousness. But in the present case, i.e. that of the world before the flood, there was no masculine water at all. Rather, there was only severe states of judgment, unable to be sweetened by mating with masculine water, which was diverted into the forces of evil by the sin of wasting seed. The feminine Givurah states remained in their full force. This predominance of Givurah in the world precipitated the flood. The five states of judgment are the five letters of the name Elohim. It is known that the five states of judgment are the five letters of the name Elohim, and that they originate in the He of the name. Each of these states of Givurah comprise 10 sublevels. This is the significance of the He Yud of the name Elohim, meaning 5 times 10. The name Elohim, we know, is associated with the left side of the Sephirot, that of Givurah. The Chesed Givurah, Tiferet Netzach Hod of this name, are inter-included of 10 sub-Sephirot each, giving 50 total sub-states of Givurah. The numerical value of the letters He and Yud are 5 and 10, respectively. These are the 15 cubits of water depth that ascended above the highest mountaintops. The 15 cubits allude to the 5 and the 10 of the name Elohim. The water is the feminine water mentioned above, from which the He Yud had been withdrawn, leaving Aleph Lamed Mem of Elohim. The states of Givurah within the feminine water, as stated, could not be sweetened by the masculine water and form part of the harmonious functioning of the masculine and feminine principles. So they separated from the feminine water and assumed a life of their own, so to speak. The 15 cubits of water allude to the absence of these two, He and Yud, 15 states of Givurah from the feminine water. This is the mystical meaning of the word above, for it can be read to mean above the He, referring to the states of Givurah that were withdrawn above the He, above the feminine water. These states of Givurah ascended above her head to the level of the upper third of Tiferet, which is there on Pin. We have seen previously that the Nukva is positioned initially such that the top of her head is level, and the line dividing the upper third of Zerampin's Tiferet from its lower two-thirds. This simply means that the Nukva expresses directly only the lower Midot of Zerampin. Chesed Givurah and the upper third of Tiferet are the pure Midot. Dropped a little bit. Give me a second. We have seen previously that the mukvah is positioned initially such that the top of her head is level with the line dividing the upper third of Zeronkin's Tiferet from its lower two-thirds. This simply means that the mukvah expresses directly only the lower midot of Zeronkin. Chesed, Gevurah, and the upper third of Tiferet are the pure midot. The midot oriented towards external expression are the lower two-thirds of Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod. Yesod and Malchut are technically the drive toward and means of expression of the midot, rather than being the midot proper. The upper third of Tiferet is the intellect of Tiferet. The lower two-thirds of Tiferet are the Chesed Gevurah Tiferet and Netzach Hod Yesod of Tiferet. The intellect of any Sefirah is oriented chiefly towards its source in the Sefirot above it, while the Midot of that Sefirah are oriented chiefly outwards and downwards towards expression in the realms below it. They continue to ascend to the level of Chesed and Givorah, which are called the mountains, as opposed to Netzach and Hod, which are called the hills. Mountains can be envisioned as protrusions from the earth. The expression of the earth's desire or tendency to reach beyond itself, thus the midot oriented outward toward external reality, are protrusions of the Partsuf outward. Since the intensity of consciousness is greater in Chesed and Givurah than it is in Netzach and Hod, the former are called mountains relative to the latter, which are called hills. As is known, in the generation of the flood, Zeronkin and Nukva were taken back, or were back to back. This is alluded to by the two words mountain, mountain, whose numerical value are that of the name Elohim in regression, plus five letters associated with the Kolel, five letters associated with Elohim. Because of the sins of the generation, Zeronkin and Nukva could not face each other. Because of the sins of the generation, Zeronkin and Nukva could not face each other, they were not oriented toward mutual cross-fertilization, as we mentioned above. The word for mountain, har, spelled he-resh, is 205. The regression of the name Elohim, spelled Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem, is Aleph, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed He, Aleph Lamed He Yud, Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem. The numerical value of this regression, as shown, is 200. Thus we see that the back-to-back state of Zeronkin and Nukva, alluded to by the mountain of Chesed and Givurah being submerged in the water, alludes in turn to the regression of the name Elohim, the withdrawal of the divine beneficence indicated by his name from reality. Thus, the mitzvah states of Givurah ascended to this level. It is known that at this level is where Yesod Avima reaches and stops and is revealed, and that the source of the Nukva states of Givurah is in Yesod Avima. Yesod Avima, as we know, is the drive within the intellect for expression. It descends to the level of Chesed and Givurah Zeronkin, for that is as far as the intellect can descend and act as the motivating force behind the expression of the emotions. That is, Chesed and Giburah of Zeranpin are the lowest levels that sustain any memory of the intellect and spawn them. Subsequent levels must take the inspiration of the intellect, but forget the idea itself in order to concentrate on getting the conclusion of the idea out into the world. Ema, the partsuf of Bina, is associated with the left axis of the Sephirot, and thus its drive toward expression is the source of Giburah aspect of the Nukva. This is the meaning of the Zohar statement that the flood, the tower waters, mixed with the upper waters. The meaning is also that the states of Giburah in her reign mixed with the states of Giburah and Ema. The flood was the immersion of the world in the original intellect or idea that ever gave rise to it. In the flood, the Giburah states of Nukva could not, as we saw, be sweetened by her husband, Zeranpin. So they had to return to their source in their mother, Ema, to be rectified. Thus, the flood was the immersion and the world in the original intellect or idea that gave rise to it in order to renew it. Thus, this was a purification process. Just as a return to the original intellectual construct was given that gave rise to one's emotional makeup is a purifying experience. However, such a flood of renewing energy can also be destructive, destroying the imperfect, the corrupt, the degenerate emotional makeup of the world that was spawned by that idea, but developed along selfish lines. This is probably why most people tend to avoid facing the real issues in life, tracing the threads of our existence back to their source. Offers the promise of renewal, purification, and rejuvenation. But the price is the potential destruction of the world or civilization that we have carefully constructed to serve our own ends. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, and the wellsprings of the abyss split open. Referring to the states of Giburah in Rachel, the Nukva, and the storehouses of heaven were opened, referring to Yesod of Ema, located in heaven, the top third of Tiferet. In this context, the lower waters of the abyss are the feminine waters of the Nukva, and the upper waters, the storehouses of heaven, are the waters of Yesod of Ema. Heaven is often associated with Tiferet as contrasted to the earth, which indicates Malchut. The word for and the storehouses may be seen as 15 plus 200, referring to the 200 regressive manifestations of the name Elohim. The net rest of the letters together with the Kolel are 15. These are the 15 letters of the regression of Elohim. The phrase, and the storehouses of heaven were opened, is composed of 15 letters. If we consider the resh of the word for storehouses, in Hebrew, arubot, separately, this leaves 14 letters. And 14 letters plus the kolel is 15. We saw above the numerical value of the regression of the name Elohim is 200. And if we count the letters used in this regression, we see that they are 15 in number. 200 is the numerical value of the letter Resh. Thus, the mystical and significance of the word for flood in Hebrew, Mabul, they issue via the back of Zeranpin, for that is where the regressions, the backs of the names Av, Sag, and Ma are situated. These use 26 letters. 3 times 26 gives 78, the numerical value of the word for flood. The word used for regression in the text is achronim, which literally means back. We are bidden to visualize the name facing away from us, returning upward to its source. We first see the back of the first letter, then the first two, then the first three, and so on. The name Av is spelled Yud Vav Dalid, He Yud, Vav Yud Vav, He Yud. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalid, Yud Vav Dalid He Yud, Yud Vav Dalid He Yud, Vav Yud Ha Vav, Yud Vav Dalid He Yud, Vav Yud Vav He Yud. The Sag is spelled Yud Vav Dalid He Yud, Vav Aleph Vav He Yud. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalid, Yud Vav Dalid He Yud, Yud Vav Dalid He Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Yud Vav Dalid He Yud, Vav Aleph Vav He Yud. The name Ma is spelled Yud Vav Dalid He Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav He Aleph. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalid He Yud, He Vav Yud. Excuse me. Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Aleph, Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph. In each case, it can be seen that there are 26 letters are used in the right regression. Mabul, meaning flood, is spelled Mem Bet Vav Lamed, a gematria of 78. The word for flood, Mabul, thus alludes to the withdrawal of the divine life force, indicated by these iterations of the name Havaya from the world. That is the end of our discussion, end of our section. Does anybody have any questions? It's also the end of our class tonight. So I bid adieu to all of you. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for the Tikkuni Zohar class at 10 o'clock. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening. Shalom,
shalom
to all.
Thank you.
Thank you.